Hurricane Florence is strengthening. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore in for David Brancaccio. More than a million people have been ordered to evacuate along the coasts of North Carolina, South Carolina, and Virginia in advance of Hurricane Florence, a nearly Category 5 storm expected to hit Thursday. The potentially massive amounts of rain could bring flooding to areas that people didn't think needed flood insurance. Marketplace's Amy Scott reports.
Just 12 to 15% of American homeowners have flood insurance, according to the Insurance Information Institute. Most of them live in just three states, Florida, Louisiana, and Texas. That's a problem, says Chad Berginis with the Association of State Floodplain Managers.
Everybody lives in a floodplain. The difference is your degree of risk.
Damage from Hurricane Florence could further strain the heavily indebted National Flood Insurance Program. Matthew Eby works to educate people about flooding risk with First Street Foundation. He says Congress recently extended the program through November 30th, but a long-term fix will require higher premiums to cover higher risk.
It's a bit of a catch-22 because there's so many people that depend on this government-subsidized program to keep their mortgages, yet the business model is simply not sustainable.
The market for private flood insurance is growing fast, but Berginis says buyer beware. Private insurers can cancel policies after a single loss or sharply raise rates. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
High-interest payday lenders have competition. This week, U.S. Bank rolled out Simple Loan. It's a bank-backed, low-interest, short-term loan. From WESA in Pittsburgh, Marketplace's Erica Barris reports that the new loan product may signal a change in how cash-strapped Americans borrow.
U.S. Bank's loan is a low-interest, three-month loan of up to $1,000 for customers who pass a credit check. Once someone applies online,
we would underwrite, approve, book, and fund the loan within minutes.
That's Lynn Heitman, a VP at U.S. Bank. Earlier this year, the Treasury Department approved these types of loans from banks. And there's a market for this. Every year, 12 million Americans pay high interest rates to access short-term payday loans, says Marissa Baradaran, author of How the Other Half Banks.
The people who rely on them are already on the margins, and they're paying the highest interest of anybody getting any credit in this country.
Payday loans are state-regulated. Banks have stricter federal rules about interest rates and ensuring borrowers can repay loans. Nick Burke at Pew Charitable Trust says having regulated entities making small loans could be good for borrowers and for banks.
Banks are at a point now where technology and regulations and all kinds of factors have fallen into place. They can make a profit and make a small installment loan that's safe.
And he says other banks will probably follow U.S. Bank's lead. I'm Erica Barris for Marketplace.
John in Minneapolis, Minnesota, wrote to say how much he enjoys our coverage of the economy and that Marketplace helps him make strong arguments and combat misinformation about financial matters. To join John in supporting trustworthy, objective journalism, donate online at marketplace.org. Thanks to all the Marketplace investors who make our work possible.
President Trump campaigned on a promise of a $1 trillion infrastructure plan. A deal there hasn't materialized yet, but maybe the national conversation on infrastructure is missing something, according to Eric Kleinenberg, sociologist and author of a new book, Palaces for the People. He says we need to think not just about roads and bridges, but about what he calls social infrastructure. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning.
What is social infrastructure?
It's the physical places and organizations that shape the way we interact. And when it's robust, we're much more likely to engage one another and build relationships. When it's degraded and neglected, we're much more likely to be on our own.
So what's an example? Like a library, I would think?
I think of the library as the best possible kind of social infrastructure. It's a remarkable institution that has a physical space that welcomes everyone. And it's got all kinds of programs that will draw people into situations that they might not otherwise have a chance to participate in.
You mentioned some of the effects of having robust social infrastructure, but are there economic effects? I mean, does that translate into economic well-being?
Very much so, because social infrastructure is the kind of thing that draws us out into the world where we'll not only engage with one another, but we're also likely to participate in economic activity. This social infrastructure is just as real as the infrastructure for power or for water, and there are all kinds of ways that we can support it through government programs and through investment.
You mentioned it can be an economic driver, but you also found neighborhoods that were on par economically, but still had different amounts of social infrastructure. What would explain that?
There are places and cities around the country that are very poor but still benefit from community gardens and active religious organizations, nice parks. And the people who live in those places are likely to be healthier, with longer life expectancy and better capacity to survive crises like hurricanes or heat waves than are people who live in comparably poor neighborhoods but who don't have that social infrastructure to support them.
As you mentioned, social infrastructure encompasses a lot of things, you know, libraries, public spaces, even certain types of businesses like cafes that bring people together. How do you promote something so broad?
We can build simple walls, for instance, and drainage systems, or we can understand that social infrastructure can be built into those systems. We not only protect ourselves from the storm, we also improve the quality of life every day. And understanding that infrastructure can involve social infrastructure gives us a whole new menu of possibilities for making the places we live work better while at the same time keeping us safe.
Eric Kleinenberg, author of Palaces for the People, How Social Infrastructure Can Help Fight Inequality, Polarization, and the Decline of Civic Life. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Our producers are Michael Lipkin, Katie Long, and Daniel Shin. And in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.